Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey. This is series season 5, episode 8, the finale episode. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Alina Graham.
Hi everyone.
Courtney Stewart.
Hello.
And Tamara Berg.
Hello, people.
Well, again, as always, we have a lot to go over. Lord Grantham finally putting it together about who Mary was, which is nice. What about the prince professes his love and wants to run away with Violet?
No.
We have Denker leading Andy astray, Daisy tendering a resignation. But I want to start off with what got to with the wedding and the whole shenanigans before and after.
The shenanigans.
I thought, first of all, you know, we had the little fashion show with everybody, Rose and her gal pals. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of fun. That was the first
adorable.
Time. Yeah, to have all the women there.
Yeah.
I know.
You don't really have all that. I mean, we don't usually see that.
It was kind of, you know, say yes to the dress.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what that means, I'm sure. Okay. But, you know, all the ladies sitting around and she does her twirl and she gets applause.
That's what I like. I love the golf clap.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was adorable.
It was good.
What was with the non-traditional wedding, though? Or there wasn't really a wedding, was it, because it was rushed?
Yeah, well, that, and I think because of the scandal about...
Just the difference of their religion.
Right, yeah, yeah.
They didn't want to be in the church or the synagogue.
Yeah. It was going to be a challenge no matter what they did, so yeah. This was their best bet of having it done without having too many ripples in the water, shall we say?
You know, fans are saying, I've just forgotten her name. The gal who plays Rose is promoting Cinderella, and so one of the fans I wrote today, they go, yeah, they just got her married off quick so that they wouldn't have to kill her before the end of the season. <Yeah. laughs>
Very practical.
Yeah.
Yes,
very practical. We don't want Rose dying. Well.
No, we don't need that. No.
All right. So, but then, of course, we head all over to London to Grantham House, and that's where we get to learn. We get to see Susan again, Lady Flincher.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She is a pill.
Her voice alone is hard to swallow. I mean, I can't even impersonate it at the moment because it's so grating that I don't even want to listen to it. And then everything she says, everything that comes out of her mouth is horrid.
Terrible.
And then just another side note, Google the actress because she's quite lovely, actually.
I'm sure she is.
People talk about how she's a very good actress because she's so awful on the show. Oh, and when you see her actually smiling and waving at people, you go, it's sort of like, you know, what's her name? Who left last season?
I know exactly who you're
O'Brien.
Talking about.
O'Brien.
Yeah. Everybody, absolutely, sure.
You know, when you see them in their modern.
So the first thing, you know, she says, you know, they come and they don't have any attendants. Carson says, makes a mention, and she says, we don't have to tell everybody. And then, of course, and then she absolutely will not share a room with Shrimpy. That starts everything, and from there, and then it just gets worse because, you know, and then the awkward hello between. Rose and her mother.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any other word?
No, it was just messy.
Oh,
it's
weird.
No, it was
terrible. That room was huge, and it just seemed like there was a whole chasm between them.
Ice.
And sad, because, you know, Rose is such a sweet, endearing, you know,
young
thing.
She has become
thing.
That, for sure, yes.
Yeah.
Especially this season.
Especially since she's gotten away from her shrew of a mother. And so,
her name is not, it should be Shrewsen.
Shrewsen, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I like it, John. Mm-hmm.
So,
I like it.
And of course, what she professes, at least to Rose, is that, do you love him? And, well, then that's all I need to hear.
Right.
what I thought.
Yeah. Me
I
was too.
Believing it. You believed
I like,
it?
I was like, oh, wow, really? Great. Okay, we're going to be fine. Just kidding. No.
So, I believed it too. For a split second, too, wow. Because I was like, all right, whatever. They're going to get this wedding mm-hmm. over with. This is not the main storyline.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Cynical, you didn't believe
no.
it
well,
for a second?
No, but that's why as soon as I saw that, the picture's being taken of, I went, that it's her. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then they kept pushing so hard that it was Lord Cynderby that I went, there's it's no definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the picture did get taken, I thought it was definitely mom. Mm-hmm. But I just...
Dang. And also because of what Violet said. She said love is a much more dangerous motive than dislike.
Yes.
And then, because if you go back, and what she says, that's, do you love him? That's all I need to hear. And then later on, what she says to Rose is, Susan says, everything I did or said was
right.
from love.
Out of love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they have different definitions. So that to me was the nice... arc of that particular storyline.
Yeah.
But it was horrible. But let's go through some of the horrible things she said, shall we?
Starting with dinner. I mean, I always think of you people as nomads.
Yes, nomads. Exactly.
Did she not learn anything from Ross Perot?
No.
Does anybody even know that reference? Especially not the
way back.
But yeah.
Good
pull,
Tammy. I don't think anybody's going to get that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, I mean, she opened. She's meeting Atticus for the first time. That's a peculiar name.
Yeah.
Just walks off.
I mean, just ruder than rude mm-hmm. constantly. Mm. She must have like a slip disc in her back or something that just makes her cranky all the time.
Yeah, maybe there's some brainwave activity that's not working or something.
Yeah, maybe she has an ear infection.
That's what, it's not working.
Yeah, all right. So, she wants to know if they have an inner infection. She should. Okay, well, she wants to know if they have English blood. I loved how the Crowleys were deflecting everything.
Yeah. Right?
Every time a bomb was launched in the middle of the table, somebody's like, bang, 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 and so move on to something else.
Yeah. I understand you're honeymooning someplace.
Oh, yes. Well, then.
I think they were prepared.
And that to me was like one of the first times that the Crawleys were deflecting everything rather than inflicting everything
on somebody else.
Yeah,
exactly.
They were really trying to be there for Rose and having it be her event.
They've embraced her fully.
Yeah,
I love it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What else do we have? Oh, but we did learn, of course, we knew already that Lord Cynderby is not really in favor of this as well. He think of divorce?
He was very clear about that.
Yes.
It's weakness, it's a scandal, it's failure.
Degradation.
And then I just love the looks of everybody's faces as he's saying all that. It's like,
they're like, oh, shit.
Talk about a ticking time bomb. When is this going to come out?
Oh, and Susan, do you find it hard to get staff?
No. We pay them well.
Because we're Jewish.
Well.
I loved it.
His mom is great.
Wasn't she fabulous?
Our new favorite. She's saucy. She's, in the right. She's fantastic.
Oh, and the way she handled Susan, of course, finally decided, since the stag, let's talk stag party.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought it was, first of all, I go, okay, I don't believe the stag party because he's leaving early.
Right?
When that never happens. He's drunk before he can ever leave early.
He's really in love. And he gets his rest.
He's a gentleman, John.
Yeah. Okay.
not the debauchery we're accustomed to.
I've just never been to a stag party where the groom is left early.
True.
Except my own.
I've never been.
Okay,
to one.
So now, were you taken aback by the elevator? A little accosting in the elevator?
Yes.
Like a
tart? We had a little tip off about that last week because. They showed us the pictures of a tart being in his room
with his
shirt off. But, we didn't fall for it as being anything serious. But, she was obviously on the make and looking to...
I'm sorry if I gave you the wrong impression. Well, I went, whoa, what was that? How did you... I didn't see
he
that part.
He gave her a nod.
Yeah.
And when he stood up and she was at the bar,
that
he
was
did
it?
Give... Because at first I was like, like you guys said, I'm like, oh, he's not going to do anything. No, but then when he nodded at her, I was like, wait a second. Mm. Now, are you shady? And he gave her
the
attention.
I can't believe you couldn't read the nod.
I didn't. I'm sure I was writing something.
They had that he made eye contact in a dirty way, John.
He's just exuding charm often.
Oh, yeah.
So any woman's going to think
even in charming when he rebuffed her.
Mm-hmm. He was.
He was
very nice about it.
Mm-hmm. And even upstairs in the room when she came in, mm-hmm. and that was kind of. I just love the. Oh, I'll be just a second.
Second.
I was like, what?
Yeah, I was so confused.
That was very skillful.
All right.
Whoa! Hello, those who aren't watching and listening.
And just that quick, it's over.
And what do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you got pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I. The best part for me was when she was leaving, And she smiled.
Yeah, yeah. It's like she was not. She a knew lady she was being. Yeah, she was an actress.
Exactly. She knew the pictures were being taken. It was perfect. And I was like, okay, this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
All right. So that quickly gets out. But okay, before we get to when Rose actually gets that, one of my favorite moments was when Mary's inviting everybody out to lunch. Hey, Edith, you can go too.
Okay, Edith.
Even you.
Terrible.
It was horrible. But then her comment later. It was kind of good. But her comment later to Tom was that, you know, look, if everybody leaves here and then you read in the paper that I'm up for murder. Right? I'm going to blame you.
I'm going to blame you that I killed Edith. Exactly.
All right. So they actually have the lunch, and that's when Rose gets to see the pictures of the tart.
Oh,
yes. The lurid pictures. I know. I thought that was very.
Isn't it take longer than
back
then?
Yeah, it's like very. But. We can only surmise that Susan has some sort of developer on the side who can do things in a 24-hour photomat kind of way.
Yes.
I thought, did anybody catch when she had a check in that letter? Okay, did anybody buy that?
The second time I watched it, yeah.
That's why I thought it was her. I didn't ever think it was Ellery with the pictures because I was like, oh, she sent a check out.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, yeah. When she was trying to post the mail thing and she happened to mention that I hate to send something out and say the check's in the mail. And I went, what is she paying off?
Girl.
Scandalous. Yeah. I love that Tom put two and two together and he's like, or this could be somebody setting him up.
Yes, I totally appreciate it because the girls would have been like, oh my God, I can't believe that. And he was like the voice of reason. Like,
he was so great in that moment. Like, yeah, you go call him.
Go talk to him.
Exactly. He was very, you know, Lord of the Manor kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
he was
just
really
taking care of the girls.
And in this particular episode, they really came across, and we'll talk about Tom later, about how he really is their brother.
He's not going to America.
Right?
I forbid it.
We all do.
Okay, all right. Courtney's putting her foot down on that one.
Take that, Julie.
Do we have? So we saw the check, and then, of course, we're at, what is it, the second dinner?
Yes, that's right, with the awkward dinner at the Cinderby's house.
Oh my God!
Does everybody notice that we are drinking?
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Downton Abbey wine is
Courtney and Ollie right now.
Side of the panel. We're clear-headed and cogent and thoughtful.
I'm more clear-headed when I drink from Downton.
But I also liked before the dinner we had Atticus confronting his father.
Yes,
and he actually comes up, gets so excited. He calls Rose a shiksa.
Yes, he did.
And
I like him.
Yeah, and Atticus coming right back at Dad saying, Do not call her that. That was a nice little exchange. We haven't really seen them, father and son, and that was really interesting and different from the way we see Lord Grantham with his kids. Of course, he doesn't have any sons, but it is different. So I thought that was a fun
thing. I love that dynamic.
It was Atticus is so likable. I just love him.
He really
from
is.
From the first moment they put him on the show.
But I didn't even dislike the dad. Like, I love him. Because I bought into he was just so good because I really was like, he's right. They're not going to be Jewish and they've worked so hard. And like,
exactly,
he's not trying
to
say she's awful, but he just wants to pass that on to his family.
And he immediately
apologizes.
He immediately apologizes for the shiksa thing and he even says right there she's a decent person, all that other stuff. And then it's really about the children. And then I love the way he launched into Atticus. Look, you've had it so easy. You don't understand. You have no... Which is
the same
argument happens today.
Exactly.
In the intergenerational arguments.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was a great little thing going on there. And wonderful that they cut it and then moved on.
Yeah. His reasoning versus Susan, who's just spiteful and bitter. Yeah. Well.
She pretends that it's about the trouble that they get, but she's more interested. She's more upset by the fact that it's going to cause even more scandal. And we already we have no position, we have no money, and this
now
too.
She's going to be an outcast.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah. Exactly.
Selfish.
I'm a failure three times.
But I really agree about Lord Cinderby being so personable and admirable,
right?
Because he's coming from this place of you know just wanting to protect and continue
and
his
legacy.
And
he has the context of history.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and by the way, I've said it a million times. I'll listen to that guy because his voice is amazing.
He's so good.
I love it every time they give him something to play. It's just so resonant and has such gravitas. It's like I'm believing everything.
And he's just so grounded, like as actor. Like he just, I don't know. I totally got sucked in.
I'm really hoping that that we get more of him next.
Yeah, well, they kind of hinted at that because they've invited them to stay. Now, I don't know if that'll be part of the Christmas special or something else, but I would imagine, you know.
One would
hope. They're great because and you know, we've talked about this, but let's go to I'm jumping around. Let's go to the dinner.
Okay.
Because that's where we had the another bit
more
of fun.
More entertaining.
More awkwardness.
Yeah. So What did you find most interesting about this?
Which, the dinner?
I'm trying to dig out where my notes where are from that.
No, that's okay. Well, then let me talk about this. Let's move on from that.
Okay.
Because one of the things I wanted to talk about was that Mary tells Shrimpy about the whole shenanigans with the photos and the setup.
Yes. Okay, just side note. I thought it was really interesting that they were very free with
that. Oh, I know. They were so open about it.
Everybody knew. Sure. They told Grandma. Like, they told Shrimpy. They told everybody. Yeah.
Which, everybody's in the know.
Yeah.
And usually they're much more tight-lipped about it.
Yeah, that is.
Which is either silly or they just really believed it was
they
a setup.
They believed it was a setup from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very, that even Grandmother knew.
Yeah. To bring her into that. But okay, so Mary tells Shrimpy and immediately, Shrimpy immediately knows. Yes. Everybody is still clueless, not sure,
like,
guessing.
Who would have done this?
Shrimpy is so right on the money with it.
And that was another
what a way to handle it.
Oh, my God.
When they got together, that was great, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He even has a checkbook. That's the proof. I mean, he's got it all prosecuted out.
Yeah, and she was just so ready to stand her ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And try, making a good game of it, because you go, oh, please. And then I love his line.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Go ahead, Tammy.
Get down, you cat.
Yes, I was trying to find my quote.
Get down, you cat.
Cat wasn't the word I was looking at, but it was
cat
a very effective word.
It was very interesting. A great choice.
Get down, you cat.
Scowling trash.
And then the threat of telling Rose, and that really seemed to have an effect on her.
Yes.
Right, because she portrays herself to Rose as, darling, I just want what you want. Yeah. I just want the best for you. And, you know, I mean, the best for you, maybe, that is part of her motivation. But the idea that, you know, she keeps a good relationship with her daughter in some ways, or at least she hopes that her daughter holds her as, you know, something to be revered. But,
Right. Well, even because let's put it bluntly, if there was a rift between mother and daughter, even that would get out. And that would be another reason for her
problem.
Okay. All right. So. He knows that. And even despite the threat that Shrimpy might tell Rose at the registry before it all goes down, Susan feels like she has to say something
because
they need to know before this. I love Violet trying to intervene. Oh, let's not ruin our day.
But did you notice how? Okay, so Cora is the one that Grantham sends. He's like, go help Susan. What's going on? And then somehow Cora still ends up in the back like, and Violet is the one that attacks. I was like, didn't you get sent to say something?
Exactly.
I wonder, I'm like, do you get upset, Elizabeth? That you always get just
like, pushed to the side.
And everybody else gets the great things. But anyway.
Well, it's the deathbed confessions. We don't need any deathbed confessions, darling.
Yeah,
it's not about you today.
But she says it anyway, and it's just scandalous. And Lord Cinderby, what? And he's outraged.
What do you mean you're having a divorce?
And Mama Cinderby shut it down.
This is one of the best moments of this, man.
It was.
In front of everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
I will leave you.
Talk about a scandal.
Exactly.
I'll give you scandal, mister.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was so powerful that, you know, it was hard to notice it, but I don't know if you looked at Atticus's face when she did that. That was great.
Gratitude.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank
that was really good.
I
was hoping they would cut to Rose just to see what that was like to have her mother-in-law come to the defense of the marriage and all that. I thought that would have been interesting, too.
Well, and it's sort of like what we didn't get with the dinner last week.
Right, exactly. With somebody standing
Merton's
up for Isabel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we like the downtrodden to be defended.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You want those moments. My God, right. You're almost cheering.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like,
yay.
All right. What happened after that? Where did we go to?
We go to the wedding, don't we? The reception.
Oh, but we have that beautiful moment with Rose and Dad.
Her dad.
Stairwell.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
When he's, oh, my God, that was just great. And, you know, she tells him, of course, that it wasn't Atticus. And, of course, he knows. But he's not telling yet because he doesn't know that she's given it up, that Susan's given up the word divorce. In the registry.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was such a nice, tender moment between father and daughter, the one that you hope daughters have before they have, you know.
Because
right?
he was talking about the world, like, you know, not turning out how any of us expect anyway. Because she's like, you don't expect, I didn't think you would think I'd be doing it this way.
Yeah.
And he was like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Shrimpy's so sweet.
Yeah, he's
sweet.
He's
a sweet guy.
And you need that to, you know, at least compensate for mom being such
a
shrew.
Mom is a demon.
Telling you, she has a slip disc. She's to be nice.
That's it? Okay.
But, Rose asks, who was my enemy? It appears you know, Dad. Who was my enemy?
Yeah.
And he says, oh,
no.
You don't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he really.
Even he's got you know, gallantry there because he doesn't want to give up mom.
I don't, and I think he doesn't want to hurt Rose.
Yeah, especially right now. Why tell her now anyway? But it was just such a, it was such a great, perfect, you know, it's one of those classic Downton moments. I love those moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they have those. Okay.
Fantastic. And it was pretty. The setting was pretty. The stairwell.
Even the way it was choreographed and the fact that he's, she's up on the step, he's below. I mean, it just was perfect.
Yeah.
It was, just looked great.
Yeah.
And it was well staged. At the ceremony, I thought was great because right after that moment, we go into the ceremony and Lord Cinderby can't even look at Rose. I don't know if you noticed that. Mm-hmm. He gets up, but he will not turn his head to look. Everybody else is looking at the bride. He is not looking at her.
He was just...
Ice.
It was. It was always like, whoa, dude, just
stone face.
Yeah, it was terrible.
How can you not soften this poor, cute little, I will please your son in any way that I can. Yeah. I'll do anything for him. I love him. Like, life. Like, it was great.
But he turned a little bit. I mean, afterwards.
He accepted it. He said, it's done now.
It's done now.
Yeah. True. But what was
and
his
I
line?
Don't believe in divorce. Yeah. So you're stuck.
You're stuck.
And he said, it is done. Let us go forward in hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At least you got that.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that is sweet.
But the button on that was when, you know, Lady Cinderby heard what Rose had said about the fact that she knew it wasn't
his
father
style.
Because it's not his style. And she already knows him better than your son.
Yeah.
So you better pay attention to her because she's good.
Lady Cinderby.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was nice. Exactly.
Liked
it
a lot.
She was, I just love the way they painted Lady Cinderby today. Well, both of them, actually. I thought they were a great couple.
Yeah.
A great couple because you believed both arguments, both sides of it, and it was conflicted, and yet they still somehow found a way to make it work.
Make it work. Mm-hmm.
It was great.
You know, and I just have to say, it must have been with the way conventions were so strict.
Yeah.
Just a few years before this, you know, we're still in the turmoil of times changing. And, you know, religion being such a cornerstone for people's lives, even if they're not religious people, it's, you know, the culture of religion. And it had to have been really difficult for everybody involved to, you know, try and be welcoming and tolerant and open to the love, but also trying to navigate what the problems are going to be for these people.
Well, and even borne out. Yes, thank you. But borne out by in the reception line when, I don't know what lady it was that went up to Cora.
Lady Glanville.
Bill?
Oh, I'm so glad you guys are taking it so well. Yes. Did you know my daddy was Jewish?
Yeah.
That was a great scene.
At the reception, for crying out loud. It's like...
I'd forgotten.
That's appropriate to say that, you know?
Shut up!
Exactly. I thought you were supposed to be well-bred and mannered.
Exactly.
But Cora, that was, you know, a great... I mean, unfortunately that she didn't have the moment inside instead of Violet stepping forward. But she had this great moment.
That was
so
a great
one
for
nice.
Her.
Yeah, that was good. And she was kind about it. Oh, perhaps you've forgotten my father's Jewish.
The British and their backhanded compliments.
Oh. Check, please.
Love it.
Yeah, she was great.
I didn't know you were going to be here.
That was terrific. Okay.
That was wonderful.
But it was a great wedding. It wasn't a huge, splashy wedding. It wasn't one of the big ones and everything.
She looked beautiful in her wedding dress, right?
Super shout out to the costume designers for everything that Rose wore in the
I loved when she wore the blue outfit in the first. When she put on that, can we see it with the hat? I'm telling you, it made
the hat
the
was
thing.
Amazing. And then when she, the first dinner I think they had at the Grant with the Granthams, when she had the like headpiece that was silver and she had the white and silver dress on. And then the wedding dress, of course, was
the wedding dress was amazing.
Miraculous.
It was beautiful.
And she had a pink dress and this other
headdress that was gorgeous.
It was just perfect. Yeah. I don't know anything about the period, really, other than it looks like it's right, but they picked some.
I have a little news about it, which we'll talk about in the news.
I'm a little out of the loop on this thing, but I think the part, the one I liked was the A-line cut on the bias that had the ombre with the peplum.
Yes.
Oh.
And I don't know any of the terms.
You just described about five different dresses.
Well, thank you very much.
Mary had a peplum.
Well, she had five different outfits.
Mary all of them are on
A-lines.
Yeah.
Mary kind of went a little menswear at the registry with her little bow tie. And she had her little shirt on, and I was like, wasn't she just talking smack about it at the fashion show like three episodes ago?
Yeah.
Well, she got the hair done, so.
She did. And I'm sorry, but that outfit, one of our YouTube fans mentioned that Mary, yes, it was appropriate for the time period, but everybody knows she looks like Willy Wonka, and when she had that bow tie on, I couldn't stop. I was dying. I was like, that's a Willy Wonka moment.
I loved that comment. That made me laugh loud. Johnny Depp as Willy Wonka.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I think I was.
Just to clarify.
I was clear on that.
Yeah. Okay.
She doesn't resemble Gene Wilder in
not at all.
All right, okay, well, for me that wraps up the wedding thing. We have other things. Anybody else wanted to say about the whole storyline with the wedding? Okay, no, good. So let's move on to something something I want to talk about real quickly and move on from because nobody cares. Anna and Bass.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Is that where my mouth was supposed to drop?
Yes, yes, exactly. So, of course, they just kept, for lack of a better, I'm sorry, I shouldn't
see
say
my
they
mouth?
Kept, yeah, exactly.
Over it. Somebody's always got
to
get arrested.
They kept hinting at it. Viner's going to talk to you. You need to talk to Viner. Oh, it's got to be Scotland Yard. So, of course, they go to Scotland Yard and, you know, and it's
a friggin' lineup. How do you just say?
No. It's not a lineup. It is an identity parade.
That's what they called it back then.
It's an identity parade, which sounds much more enjoyable. Yes. I'm going to lead the identity parade.
I'll be on the float.
That's right.
Representing
waving.
Dalton.
So,
oh my god!
Yeah. The identity parade.
We call it a lineup. It's an identity parade.
Yeah.
So, alrighty.
So
then.
And okay, and then of course, eventually she gets arrested, and I know I'm skipping over a lot, but
we
again,
don't care.
When she got arrested, did anybody really go, "Oh darn"?
No. It was not
no
shocking.
Shock.
It was stupid. Yeah. And I'm just mad.
Dumb. I have to say, we're not the only ones because I was reading comments on Facebook pages and on articles that I was doing for the news, and everybody is over it. Everybody is over it. And it's such a disappointment because it was such an incredibly important storyline last season, and nobody cares. So Anna being arrested is silly because we know she didn't do it because she wouldn't be...
is concerned about Bates being arrested and, you know, she's...
Because there was a time when she was, like, thinking...
Did he do it?
And then the relief that she just expressed three episodes ago, like, oh, God, thank you, you didn't do it. Like, obviously she didn't do it.
And so
I think what they're hoping for is that you'll be so upset that she may get locked up, convicted, whatever.
No.
But I don't think that could ever happen because we've already been to that same storyline for a whole season with him being locked up unjustly. There's no way you're going to put... the wife now locked up unjustly for another season.
It's ridiculous.
I would have been happier if they said a gorilla jumped off of like the circus's cart and pushed him in the street and killed him.
Yeah.
Like I would have been.
But they're also hinting because of what Bates said to Mary as they were coming back to Downton that he says, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
she's not going to be convicted.
Right.
Suggesting because that he might, I don't know, confess, whatever. You know, who knows.
But then if he confesses.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just suggesting this is what they're hinting at.
That's what I took from it too. He's going to take the rap.
Yeah. And I don't think that, for me, I would be throwing the implausibility flag like crazy on that
Completely.
Too. Say, please do not repeat this.
No.
I know.
So
don't do another story
we
like
wish
that.
She got
okay.
shot in an act.
All right. So the one thing I did like about it was
really
the way that Mary and Bates and Lord Grantham all came to her defense.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Except the cop did not give
no,
a darn
no.
about
I
Mary.
I am Lady Mary Crawley. I don't care. The Queen of Upper Nile. I'm taking her. Yeah. It was nice. But it was fun. I liked that.
Again,
that moment.
Yeah. Defending the defenseless kind of thing. It was great.
Yeah. I liked that at all. Yeah. All right, so that's all I really
Whatever.
Want to get into that because the rest of it is...
Moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
Swipe to the next page.
The way more fun thing I want to talk about is Denker.
Denker. Dastardly Denker.
Who knew?
Drunk.
I knew something was up. She's a lush.
You did from the beginning?
No, well, she's way too saucy.
No? She's always on the phone.
She's a little sassy.
She's always
saucy.
On the
saucy. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, yeah, but I, you know, when we first met her, I didn't get that she was that saucy. But I mean, it was good to see the size.
Well,
but I'm just wondering if you thought or felt that from.
I didn't know it was the fact that she was a lush, but
I didn't think it was AA type of saucy. Apparently.
But yeah, the sort of back behind the scenes tension between her and Spratt.
Oh yeah, there's that set up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Spratt gets called out and just
that was funny.
Oh,
that was Spratt.
He's terrible. He's terrible at this stuff. He can't get away. He's just not good at trying to be that underhanded. You can't compete with the Denker.
No.
Not a chance.
He kicked a suitcase under
the
bed.
Ooh, that'll show her.
Exactly.
But Violet's so on to everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But one of my favorite things about the whole Denker thing, Thomas, because he knows what it's like to see somebody else culling somebody from the herd and preying on them, he immediately sees it.
He does.
Yep.
And wants to defend him.
Yeah.
Which is like, they're creating a new storyline for Thomas. They're you know, going back to that heroic thing, you know, especially the way he took the fight for James.
Yeah.
Early on. It's kind of the same thing. He comes to the defense of this guy. Even Patmore she knew what was going on right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun. But, you know, then when you see where it is, and the poor Annie, I feel bad for him.
He was in over his head.
Yeah.
Even when she says the second time, she goes, just get your stuff and let's go.
No, he was just like, okay. What? You're a grown man.
She's not your boss. Exactly. I mean, move on.
What is she going to do? Drag you?
Yeah, that was funny. Okay. But the bar, the speakeasy, whatever it is.
The velvet violin.
The gambling joint. Is that what it was? The velvet what?
The velvet violin.
I didn't catch the name. That's great. I wish I had. Velvet violin. Not so velvet or violin.
No.
Yeah, some kind of risky characters in there.
Yes, mm-hmm. there are.
But Thomas wins back all the money. Yeah.
And he wasn't even
the gambler. If you remember, James was the gambler.
Yep.
Right.
I didn't even know Thomas had the ability. You would expect that he would know his way around a gambling table based on, you know, what we know of his upbringing.
Tom is just, he's a hustler. Yeah. So therefore, you know, gambling.
Of course. And he wins. I wonder what they were playing. It looked like Texas Hold'em, but it wasn't.
Okay.
I'm not that familiar.
Never mind.
In the gambling universe.
I don't want to reveal how much I know about gambling. So he gets his winnings and he pays, you know.
Tells him to get out of here.
Pay your bill and let's go. Mm-hmm. And it gets her to get in trouble, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciated it.
But you know what was even better is when she came back the second time when she's all drunk, she's supposed to be back by 10.
Singing.
She's singing Long Ridge Tipperary.
That was pretty funny.
And why should we give a tinker's cuss? What was it?
A tinker's cut about the maid?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know what that means, but I just love the line.
But it was great.
Please let us know what the hell that means. Yes. We didn't get a chance to look that up.
Daisy's like, I
don't think it's much.
And in front of all the maids, and it was just, the maids are, oh, my God. There you go, the saucy language. Oh, I'm getting the vapors. So Dinker, of course, has to pay for everything. So, boom. Yes. Nice
Love
job.
It.
Tammy has a drinking problem.
Perfect.
All right. Let's see. All right. Well, that for me was enough for Dan, you know, because we have a lot to get through.
It was nice
and levity.
What
was also part of this particular one is the Daisy thing where...
Daisy.
We're going farther with her teaching and learning, and she's realizing
her world is expanding.
And much to her dismay.
Absolutely.
She's so cute.
Oh, look at you guys.
It's so precious.
Someone's brought her into the sunlight.
And they think it's so beautiful, and she's like, no, I'm pissed. I've been living in a hole for like 25 years. This is awful.
I'm incredibly discontented.
Yes.
And she feels imprisoned.
Yes. That's
so cute.
Yeah.
Dismal.
Yeah.
But she's like ready to go now.
She tenders and gives a resignation. Yeah. That's it. I'm giving my notice. I'm out of here. I'm going to go to London and get a job.
Yep.
I like it, Daisy.
That's right.
Even though I felt my heart broke.
Oh, Mrs. Patmore.
She is like, I don't know if it's just her face is like always on the verge of crying. Like, I don't know what it is, but like she just had, like, you look at her and you're like, oh, and she just broke me up immediately. Yeah. She's great. She is great.
But even with all that book learning, Daisy didn't figure out that it was because of her that she was crying. Like, Daisy.
Well, she just doesn't assume, like, I would be, like, that upset about, I'm not her daughter, but she is, like, embraced her.
Well, that's true. The part that she was so surprised that it would have such an effect on
her.
And that there was somebody else who loved her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, because we even got Mr. Mason talking about that at the end.
Oh, I was so glad. She said, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Till her exams are done. She passes her exams, and then she may go. So, I assume she'll be around for the next season.
Possibly.
Or leaving in the middle of it or whatever. Who knows? But she'll be around. So, but that was nice. Huh?
Well, and you know, just take a moment and think back to Daisy in the early days.
Yes.
You know, and she was so meek and so timid. You know, and just really like, you know, like a little tiny animal, you know, and now she's got this
fire in her belly.
I love it. I think it's adorable.
Fire.
But she also, it's tempered by compassion. I mean, she was compassionate with, so it was, that's.
Yeah, really touched by Mrs. Powers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also Mr. Mason, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he's so sweet. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think people who love each other should be apart.
Mm-hmm. I don't cry easy, but they were like grooving me in this. I was like, oh, that's so, because they're like, wait, and it's such an ordeal to go anywhere. Like, oh, even God, when the family is like trying, I noted like in the beginning when they all left and it was like 800 cars and like servants, and it's just a mess. So I get it. You're in the country and you're apart. We don't have text messages. That's stressful.
Not even.
It's sad.
Oh, well, if you're sad about that, how do you feel about Prince Karug and what he said to Violet?
I freaking love that Violet was like, what did I pick out to wear last night? That was like my favorite moment of the whole episode. That's what you think of it.
Oh. And Danker on it.
Yes. She's like, it's
oh, don't you worry.
Lovely.
I've got it all under control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She sensed it. I love it, Karagin. I love that, like, all the men, well, even Tony and his whackness. Like,
yeah.
They're very bold and blunt this season.
Yes.
Like, they're just straight up like, I want to make out with you. I want to sleep with you. I want to be your lover.
Right?
I want to run away. Like, he was just laid it out.
This relationship makes me awkward, though. I must say. It's a little too risque. He is so forward. Like you said, I want to make you my friend and lover.
I know. Like, Violet, y'all still do that?
I agree.
Yeah, I know.
And so I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about the element of his being poor and destitute and a refugee? At this point, is that anything behind his motivation?
Of course it is. It's but not like in the way, not in the way that like I'm trying to get some money back, but in a way that it's colored his existence now. Like it's made him in a place where I don't care what the confines of our cultures are. Like I don't give. I want to be with you.
I don't think it has anything to do. And I don't think it has anything to do with I want to be with her because of her money or her station or her position.
No, no.
I think it's all like, and I think it's because he's staring at his mortality. He's going, look,
he's seen his whole world fall apart.
Exactly.
And this one thing that he used to just.
And there's been a lot of ugliness the last few years, and I'm done with the ugliness. And he doesn't, you know, all he sees is, he doesn't see scandal, he sees love.
Yes.
He wants to spend the last few years of his life with her.
Yeah.
There were some deep moments in Downton this week.
And I just love her. You know, she, one of the first things she asks is, are you planning on divorcing? You know,
yeah.
Because that's where she's like, if you weren't married,
she can't
answer.
His wife is a prostitute in Hong Kong.
Whoa!
Why does he gotta get a divorce? Hasn't it been like 15 years now or something? How long has it been?
Right, well, and his response, why? Why?
You
want more children?
Yeah, exactly. Almost hilarious.
I loved that.
I thought maybe I could get it right this time.
I mean, does it matter that he's married? Like, that Russian government doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but it only does to Violet.
Right, because she brings it up in the end.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's the thing she says to Isabel.
Thank you.
Because, you know.
What's going on with Isabel?
Well, let's talk about that because she says, I can't answer to Corgan's suggestions, that we say. But you know she's thinking about it because, you know, the two things that she says to Isabel for sure is, you know, life doesn't give you many chances. And you better know, and you never know if you're going to get another one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you want to take advantage. And then what she says is, don't let Lord Merton's son rob you of your future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's definitely considering it. But in the end, the last thing she says to Isabel about the whole storyline is, you should fight, basically, but you have the whole last card.
Yeah, you have the advantage.
He's not married.
Mm-hmm. His wife is dead.
So I think the whole thing for Violet is that moment, that piece of information is that, yeah, that might be a possibility, but my convention, as we were talking about earlier, doesn't allow me to be with you because you're married.
Yeah.
Right.
Even in this instance, which, you know, maybe she is in some foreign land and never to return or whatever it is, and I don't think she can bring herself to marrying him.
I don't
or
either.
To being with him, not even marrying him.
He just has to kiss her one time.
Yeah.
That's all it will take. Huh?
I'm not ready
She's
for that.
She's already on a cake.
Yeah. You're not ready for that?
I'm
not ready for that.
I'm going to have to turn away.
See, I think it's so good. Like, we don't ever see this anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, these women, and there was an article about that, how, like, women of a certain age, like, there's no, like, sexual relationships
That's
and
true.
Love. Like, you don't get to ever see that, really, and it's really cool that these have been like two major sort of stories happening in this show, and
yes.
I love it. Like,
I love it too.
She's lonely. She was sad her friend's about to leave.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
really is alone. Like, they sit up in the house. Like, they don't get to hang out with their friends at the bar. Like,
there's no internet.
No, you hang out with Sprat and crazy old Dinker. Like, that would suck.
Yeah, you read a lot.
And what you're doing is playing referee between
exactly.
the two.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, really, this is what my life is now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's some pretty strong pull for considering his.
Yeah.
Proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Proposal.
And they love each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I don't
should
know.
She? Would well, she? Yeah. Will she?
Should she? Yes. Will she? No.
Probably.
That's
yeah.
my thought.
I agree.
That's my thought.
Unless we find out the princess is dead.
Yeah. Unless she
and
dies.
And Shrimpy's working on it.
Well,
not
killing
not,
her.
Well, not killing her. Well, let's clarify.
Finding out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Speaking of something that is also dead, let's move on to Mary and Tony because we finally had the death nail by him saying goodbye in a way he said
good
goodbye.
Good luck, Mary. Bye.
But even before that, that was the awkwardness between Mabel Ayne and Tony and Tom and yes. Mary and the whole thing. I just love those. They're so awkward, but they're still so polite about it.
So polite. We are actually getting married.
Yes, in December, because in London, of course, because, you know, weddings in the country are just so dirty.
Well, I hope I'll be invited.
Yes, of
course. No, you said that.
Will that be part of the Christmas special, you think? Their wedding?
Yes. Okay. And plausibility flag.
Okay. That they were there at all?
Yes!
But, okay.
No, you can't fight that one.
Well, only because they're of the same. But why was Lady Mandeville or whatever her name there?
Because she doesn't have a terrible history with the family.
But Tony doesn't
have a terrible history.
They don't know that.
Nobody knows what really
I agree. It was like, really? He's going to be there? I mean, it was seemed like just a convenient place to put them.
Yeah, I thought it was.
But, you know, they run in the same circle, so I could see that
they
extended an invitation.
They had to be on the list.
They kept inviting him to the house, you know.
And what if he was invited already before the whole, like, Mary situation really fizzled out and then they couldn't rescind the invitation?
So, well, but he doesn't have to bring his ex-fiance slash future wife.
He couldn't go without her if Mary's going to be there.
Wait a minute. They were still engaged and he took Mabel to the movies. So, you know, once they're not engaged, why can't he bring her to the wedding? I
mean, it's just awkward.
It is awkward.
It didn't make any sense to me. I thought it was a fine scene. It just didn't make any sense. Yeah. That's all. It's silly.
Yeah.
Fine.
But even Lord Grantham is still thinking they make a handsome couple.
He's gazing lovingly at the two of them.
They make such a lovely couple. Get over it, Dad.
No, give it up. Is it get over it? Or give it up.
Give it up. Like, yes,
give it up.
What? 2014 ended up in 1924. To give it up. It's a pipe
never
dream.
Gonna happen.
That was great. It was great for Edith, though.
It was funny. All right. It was very funny.
But then we also had, afterwards, we had this nice moment between Carson and Mary.
I was so glad. Because when you saw Tony with Mary talking and you saw Carson in the background, and I was like, oh, I remember they were like that was such a good relationship.
I wanted that relationship.
Yeah, so I'm glad they had brought that moment back.
Right, because we haven't seen much of that in a long time.
And you know what? The funny thing is, you know, because we think Mary's, well, she's certainly much more independent, or I should say stronger. Appearingly than Edith, it's nice to see her having that older father-like figure come in so that she can be a little bit vulnerable so we can see that other side of her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he always has thought the best of her, and she knows, even in that image, she can't live up to that because she doesn't think it herself.
Yeah.
She's well, she did when Matthew was around, but...
Yeah, well, because he saw it too. Yeah. I mean, to a greater degree.
Just to backtrack just a tiny bit, Mary saying to Tony... You were there when I needed
I laughed.
You
I
were
did.
What I needed when I needed it. If you know what I mean.
I'm not exactly sure.
Do you know what they mean, John?
I don't know to what you are referring.
We'll have to move on.
Oh, all right.
In that hotel room. Needed to feel free.
When they were sketchy.
Oh.
See, Mary no longer has anyone to sketch with, if you know what I mean.
I'm sure she can find a partner to sketch
sketching
with.
Partners?
Not one that would be as discreet as Tony was.
Oh, I don't know. Afterwards, he wasn't that discreet. Thrown in her face. All right, but they had that nice moment, and even Carson is the one that, again, says it right on the nail. Look, he wasn't good enough for you, not by half.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, which was the truth. I mean, I don't know if he was good enough, but... I'm not sure I believe that part of it, because I'm not sure that, you know, sometimes I don't think Mary's that, she's
Mary's not
much of
a
catch.
They weren't a good match.
Yeah, they weren't a good match by any means, so.
Good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, again, it was, for me, it was at that parallel. Okay, Shrimpy and Rose had their little father-daughter thing, and this was another father-daughter thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally different way, but it's just as successful for me.
And I do kind of like to see that Mary was a little bit deflated by that. Yeah. Even though she knows, like, Tony wasn't it. Mm-hmm. But to see her affected a little bit, to be kind of like, oh, dang, I'm alone. I am actually alone.
She's human.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that she left the reception and she said they won't miss me because this is somebody else having their day. And she's had hers. I mean, there was all
a lot of stuff
rolled up in that moment of her being away.
Yeah.
So.
That was.
We appreciate it.
Yes, it was very good. All right, let's move on to Lord Grantham. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. We want to talk Tom real quick because I thought this was really, really, because we talked about it early in the podcast, especially Courtney. Did you have anything you want to say about this particular?
He's not going to freaking Boston.
Oh, come on. He's got a cousin in Boston.
Cars.
He's got a dealership, a partnership with farm vehicles and cars.
No, they're about to build some cottages and make them cute so that they can rent them out when everybody goes broke in the Depression.
That's a great opportunity for him.
It is not a great opportunity. You love your sisters. You cannot leave your sisters. Edith is.
They're not his real sisters.
There are his sisters.
He has a real cousin.
He married Sybil. Those are his sisters. That is who he's been living with, and his daughter needs to be around her aunties.
In the words of Sibby, why?
I can't really argue that point. I was going to work on Courtney, but you had to bring Sibby into it.
No. I did. You can't.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
No right, moving so. To America.
But at least he's staying through Christmas, so he knows he's going to be there for the Christmas
vacation. Yes, right. Of course he has to be.
I love how warm the sisters are to him and about him.
Yes,
like, if there's something they can agree on,
it would be Tom. And they really were great at how they wove that in this particular episode.
Yeah, I appreciated it.
They both, you could see that they both, their hearts were breaking, that the idea of him leaving.
My heart was breaking.
So, because, you know, he really is, if he's not there, they're left with each other.
Exactly.
I know, right?
That's horrible.
And he's a voice of reason and something else than Grantham.
And he really does have their back all the time. I mean, the way he came to Rose's defense right away, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. He really is stepping into that second in line kind of position.
And very much a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Unlike, some of the gentlemen that are
Have
been like the Merton sons.
Oh, good Lord.
Worse.
All right. All right. But speaking of Tom and the village development, so Lord Grantham decides he has a way to fund it. He's decided he's going to sell the Dylan to Francesca.
I have to say, for as much as we've been critical of Julian Fellowes this season, I liked how he wrapped this up. I thought it was a really great win-win for everybody. Yes. You know, he funded the thing and really ate crow with his wife and just said, you know, how bad that painting made him feel because he hadn't trusted her. She says she's taking it on and says, I've spoiled the painting for you. And he says, I'm reminded that I didn't trust you. I'm so angry with myself that I want to be rid of it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's great. And then not only that, but he's going to develop the village with
him. Yes, he's going to develop the village.
I know.
Make it happen.
Two birds, way to go.
Yes.
And we always think of him, he's so stupid most of the time.
One other person on this panel refer to him? I can't recall.
Lord Douchebag.
There's a title.
That's it.
There is a title.
Himself. Tonight he did. He did. I actually kind of liked him tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with the memorial.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. All right. Since you mentioned it,
he opened that book and he saw the little tombstone,
I
was like, he's going to do it for Patmore.
Yay. That won me over.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very smart that we kind of glossed over the whole ISIS is no more thing.
Yeah.
And that's why he's looking at those things. But it would have been way too heavy to deal with that.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So it was nice that, and that was a great way to springboard into the other storyline and make it much more uplifting and fulfilling.
Right.
Exactly. So, and great for Miss Patmore again. And again, crying like crazy. What's wrong with her?
She's always on the verge. Like, you're like, what? She's going to follow. And she just, she's just so hard for me.
Well, and it was so sweet, the words that he used. You know, another gallant chap who had served our house and, served
his
country.
No, wasn't part of Downton, but whose people love him all the less.
Yes.
That's why he wasn't on the memorial, because he didn't serve Downton. They had a separate piece.
right. Sorry, but then he said, Who said it? It's just as it should be.
Mr. Mason.
Was,
I believe.
And then, no, it was before that. But then Lord Grantham and Carson shared the look.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of, not on board with this idea.
Yeah. No. Well, that was Mr. Mason. It's just as it should be. And then they shared that look. That's what
okay,
happened,
yeah. So, that moment. Yeah. Right.
And the word they used on the thing was his sacrifice. Remember his sacrifice.
Yes.
regardless of how you feel about him, there was a sacrifice there. So which you can honor that. And you can appreciate that, yeah.
What I didn't appreciate, though, was that, so everybody goes over and they see the nice little stone, yeah. And then Padmore's like, oh my god, she's dying, and then everybody walks away. I was like, Grantham, did you hug her before you left? No. He noticed Marigold and was like, oh, I'm gonna go over there, mm-hmm. and Padmore's just there by herself.
Have you ever seen him hug anybody?
Maybe
it would have been too much, but yeah, I laughed. But it would have been,
I thought Mrs. Hughes would. I thought somebody would be there by her, you know, behind her.
Because she was sobbing and everybody just walked away.
What?
Okay, we're going to go do this all now. Right. Yeah. Okay.
I can see both sides of that. The other one is giving her a private moment with something. And because, you know, there are times when you just don't want to be sobbing in front of people. You don't want people fawning over you when you're crying over something sad like that. No, you wouldn't.
You don't want a pat,
heartless.
Everybody needs a pat.
Everybody needs a pat.
Or like as you walk past her.
Yeah.
Instead of being like,
everybody needs a pat.
Or somebody's going, hey, are you done?
Is it over?
She's still crying.
All right. So, and also, I love the way they choreographed the everybody walking back to Downton. I haven't seen that shot with those people walking. I thought that was terrific. And storyline and setting up other storylines. I thought that was terrific.
I liked it a lot.
And those nice moments there. And then, of course...
he also won me over with the response he gave Cora at the end when she said, "Will you love your granddaughter?" But I'm jumping ahead.
No, go ahead. That's what we're talking about right now. The only thing I was going to say is I like the way that, you know, they did a nice little wind up with that. So they kept hitting that bell a couple of times. She reminded me.
That was deja vu.
That was the runner for the episode. They just kept bringing that back.
He looks
like. But then I go when he said.
Gregson.
Looks like Gregson. I go,
what? Why did you say it looks like your daughter?
What?
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Gregson. So anyway, so what was
but
it?
But the only thing is he was so nonchalant when he actually found out about it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Tell me the truth. Oh, it's true.
No, okay. Because he found out earlier.
It looked like he'd been ruminating about this for a while. And so I think he had prepared himself either way.
Yeah.
So I think he was just waiting for Cora to actually confirm it. And then I thought the moment that he took was, because, you know, I just harkened back to, okay, great. Okay, just another, one other thing.
Yeah.
It's an unusual sensation. Which is there's a secret that I am privy to.
That's what I was going to say. He's finally accepting, like, change in a very simplistic, like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to deal with
it. And it's a great self-awareness because he realizes he's not privy to much. Unlike Carson, who, when Mrs. Hughes has that nice line to him, which is, you're not blessed with self-awareness or self-knowledge.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two father figures aren't really aware of their position or their...
Nope. Not a clue.
Yeah.
No.
So did it swing you?
Yeah.
Elena,
he gave the right answer. Yeah. I will love her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he should have said, I do love her. I already feel
Well, I mean, he was on the ground.
I guess it's the honest truth, you know?
Yeah. I just thought that because the way they set it up in the beginning when he was on the ground playing whatever game it was with Sibby. And, you know, and being called Donk and the whole thing, you can see that I think it is opening up and those kids are, and I think the fact that Marigold is part of that, I think that will open him up to
even
that.
More.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
I hope anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. None of the grandkids, by the way, have both their parents. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Tragic.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Half orphaned.
Well, they've got lots of names.
I'm still holding out the Gregsons.
You are, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
One thing that we didn't talk about that I just wanted to mention in the Anna and Bates story
was
Green has attacked several women.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have found out.
Serial. Mm-hmm.
So... I just put that out there because I think that's going to be important for next season.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I thought it was funny that we hadn't talked about that sort of when we talked about what happened. Like, we should have thought about that because he's been in houses all this time.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Wants a rapist, but usually does it more than
exactly.
once. So, yeah.
Exactly.
It was an interesting idea that they brought in.
Carson and Hughes.
Yes.
What if I swore that neither has done anything wrong?
Yeah.
She says to him.
Mm-hmm.
So...
This goes back to what I've said. So.
Why would she be swearing, John?
Because I think she's the one who knows who did it.
Yes.
Or she did it?
I think she did it. That's what I said a couple of...
But that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make... I even said that. Of course it doesn't make any sense.
Let's just be fair. It's not going to make sense.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I'm going... And it was... I had... You know, you go back to the thing. All the other things are even
dumber or weirder or less believable. I go, okay, well, that one's the only one I could almost believe.
Just let it be a gorilla. Stupid.
I'm telling you, unfortunate hunting accident is what it should have been all along.
A gorilla got on the platform or got on the pavement.
He just fell. He ran away from the circus. They were trying to catch him, and he just got jumped by a gorilla.
All right, how do we like the finale? Did we enjoy this? Was it a good...
Oh, I just wanted to say this one thing. I appreciated Mosley and Baxter having their little moment.
Oh, that's
when she was like, "Never, you're never safe until the ring's on your finger." Yeah. When they saw Rose, and he goes, "You want like to be safe?"
The look on his face when she said yes,
and Daisy's face too.
Oh, yeah. I was so happy for them because Mosley's special.
He is special.
They're making him more cute and less daft.
Less silly.
For sure. Well, I thought this was just a good. I thought it was full and rich and had lots of really good stuff. Great conflict and wonderful. You know, people stepping forward, especially Lady Cinderby. I just really loved her.
I appreciated her a lot. Yeah.
A lot of great shutdowns.
Shutdowns, exactly.
And a lot of hope.
Although one thing I will say was that, you know, we've spent a lot of the middle episodes of this season sort of watching grass grow. You know, and things going along slowly, and then the first. Third or so of this episode, I felt like it was back to the
race, yeah, like the first
silly episode. Super speed, and you know, I was thinking, well, why couldn't he have split this storyline with last episode and this episode instead of packing it all into this one episode? And it just, you know, it just felt a little just not as wise in time management skills and writing
uneven
skills
for
me. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I still enjoyed the finale. Who, you know, you love a wedding. You gotta love a wedding.
Yeah,
I do.
Especially that dress and those roses. That headpiece was great.
Yeah,
I don't even remember. What?
It was roses.
It's
like
flowers
on each
side. You guys are talking about going. She had a headpiece on.
Headbands.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was fabulous.
And I'm going. She had a headpiece. Oh,
she looked great.
No memory
had
of a
headpiece. Had that been on a couple weeks ago, I totally would have been her for Halloween.
Right.
Except I didn't leave my house. But you know,
you should have just done it and taken pictures.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Tomorrow she's going to be wearing that.
Exactly.
It's Tammy.
She'll Instagram it. Yeah. So, all right. So, well, any last thoughts about this, or should we get into news?
Let's go do news and then do last thoughts.
Okay.
This
let's
will
do
probably
news. Right. Let's hit our
encourage
news.
Some things. TV news. Maggie Smith cannot enjoy Paris.
What? Why? Why?
No.
What's going on?
The 79-year-old actress was interviewed about her film My Old Lady, which was shot in Paris and came out here in the U.S. in September. She mentioned how she loves Paris, but she can't go anywhere alone there. Quote, "I was besieged by Americans and Downton Abbey. That's never happened to me before. It's television that does it. It was awful. I love wandering around on my own, and I just couldn't."
Aww.
The article in The Telegraph is a wonderful interview where Maggie Smith talks about her long career and relationships on and off the stage and screen. Of co-star Penelope Wilton, who plays Isabel Crawley, she says, "Penelope and I have had a great time. We play endless bananagrams, whatever that is. She makes me laugh a lot, and we talk about the books that we read."
Oh,
you know, if she just wear the makeup she did for that one role where she plays that homeless person or whatever, then nobody
the lady
would
in the van.
Yeah, nobody would recognize her.
Yeah,
we there are go. Americans. We're so classy.
Yeah, okay, Americans. Any American, leave her alone.
Yeah, let her walk
let
through
her
Paris.
Have a, let her have
let her
her time
enjoy
in
it.
Paris.
She chose the role in My Old Lady because it was the only role she had been offered recently that didn't end up with her character dying.
Oh,
mm-hmm. British release of the film is set for November 21st, and I have tweeted the link about this article. Mm-hmm. Read it; it's really good. It's worth reading. It's a very long article, and it's really interesting. Rose's wedding gown.
Yes. Okay.
Was the genuine?
She had a gown. What
was the genuine article?
You
whatever.
That
just the
beautiful
runaway.
Gown,
like,
John.
Go doodle something, John. On this week's finale, beautiful Lady Rose got to wear some very lovely dresses, and one in particular, according to costume designer Anna Mary Scott Robbins, is the high point of my career.
Whoa.
Ah. It was because it was fabulous.
The white and gold gown that Rose wore to her wedding reception is something that is absolutely fit for a lady, and Scott Robbins anticipated making the perfect gown for her from scratch. But in her hunt for inspiration, she found the one.
Wow. Mm.
Quote, "The dress she wears is a completely original piece that we unearthed in a vintage shop in immaculate condition."
Wow. Wow. They found that?
Yes.
Wow.
"The hairs on the back of my neck stood up when we found it, and when Lily James put it on, it was one of those perfect moments that you don't often get in your career."
Wow. So,
like, Courtney, you were all responding to it.
Hey, it was perfection. Everything about the wardrobe in this
It was perfect.
It was modern-ish. But but yeah. not too modern. Mm-hmm. It fit for her being a lady. I loved that it had a little bit of color to yes. it. It was
perfect.
Spectacular.
And the accessories they chose to go mm-hmm. with it all was wonderful.
Genuine vintage. Isn't that incredible? I mean, it really does give me chills, too.
Yeah, me too.
The hairs, they're lifting.
Ratings for the finale are the worst ever.
Oh, no.
Because everybody's been mad all season.
I know.
No.
Down, we finished its fifth season on ITV Sunday night with an average of more than 8 million viewers. It's the lowest
good.
Ever UK audience
like
for the
million.
Season.
8 million, is that bad?
Yeah, worst
well,
ever.
Well, yeah, they're up in the
if
nines
you were
and
like,
tens.
Oh, okay.
So. Lowest ever UK audience for the finale to date. let's see. Fourth season finale was a 10.1. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they still only have like four channels there, so it's still a third of the,
yeah, it's
the
not,
population
I mean,
are
it's
watching
just,
it.
It's low,
it's
for,
just
them.
Low for them.
It's low for
right,
them.
Exactly. Well,
I mean, any show in America, especially a cable show, would be going,
eight,
I mean,
eight million?
Walking oh, Dead, which huge. Is huge, gets six.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and the show is still ITV's highest rated drama.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So.
Well, it's coming
still,
back. So.
It's still doing
Take
okay.
That.
And Downton
but,
has been renewed
okay,
for a sixth season.
But let's talk about that. Do you think that's warranted? Because to me, that makes sense. Because it wasn't. I still love the show. I love the series. I even liked the season, but it wasn't its strongest season. And
I agree.
I
yeah.
think the numbers
I
are indicative.
I think you're not true fans because you gave up.
What?
You didn't bother to watch the finale.
Yeah,
it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't
no, no, no.
hot garbage. Like, it's not the season.
No,
like,
I just think overall this season, has yeah. because it's been what it has been, I mean, that yeah. let people decide, okay, well, I don't need
and,
to see it.
And
as opposed to other years, you were like, you couldn't
you
wait.
Gotta
yeah.
wait for it.
Here's the thing. ITV's director of drama commissioning, Steve November, said, "We don't yet know what Julian has planned for season six or series mm-hmm. six, but we are looking forward to working with him, the fantastic cast, and Carnival, the production company, again, and have no doubt that series six will be unmissable."
Well, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, a lot of shows do this. I'm not saying that's what Julian is doing, mm-hmm. but a lot of shows, when they know they've only got one more end, the one before,
they
like
they
we want to save the really good stuff for
the last one.
And sometimes
sense.
That happens.
Yeah,
and it, you know, it kind of felt that way. It doesn't, mean it was bad. It just means that, you know, we've seen
yeah.
much more interesting, compelling storylines.
Yeah. Yes.
Have they announced that season six is the last?
They have not announced no. that, but
they've announced that we have a season six. We just don't
yeah, we
know
just and it only yeah. just happened this week that yeah, they so. Announced it. So I'd like to do some viewer predictions.
Okay, go ahead, let's do it,
and then we can go into ours. All right, here we go. Viewer predictions. Anna killed Green. Mrs. Hughes killed Green. Thomas killed Green. Tony Gillingham killed Green. Bates didn't kill Green, but will confess to killing Green to save Anna.
The Green.
Bates did do it, and there's a murder-suicide involving Anna. I swear, these are all from mm-hmm. our comments.
It's not one comment, it's from a bunch
no,
of different
No, it's a
ones?
Bunch of people. Okay. Or it was Colonel Mustard in the drawing room with a candlestick.
Yeah. Or a gorilla.
Here's another one. Who killed Bates will be slipped in just before the credits of the Christmas special. Fellows himself will pop in from the front of the screen and say, "By the way, it was Tony Gillingham." And then the credits will roll. Or, finally, drum roll, it was an accident.
That was the world's worst Julian Fellows.
I've never heard him speak. And apparently he has an American accent.
Oh.
Other predictions. Dr. Clarkson bumps into Larry and beats the crap out of him in a mind-numbing rage.
Nice.
I like that.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Lord Merton will call off the engagement because of something that Clarkson does or says that makes Merton think that Isabel would be happier with Dr. Clarkson.
Ooh, interesting.
And finally, Tom will go to America. Edith will join him. Tom won't go to America. He'll fall in love with Mary. He'll fall in love with Edith. He'll fall in love with Daisy. And it will snow on Christmas. Those are our viewer predictions.
Well, I think we've covered the gamut on that.
I can't tell you. I can't. I've told you. I can't tell you guys how much joy I get out of reading the comments.
Oh, it's amazing.
And having conversations
They're
with people
hilarious.
On Google Plus and on YouTube. It cracks
Fantastic.
Me up.
Yeah.
It makes me so giddy, and I love it. And I'm going to miss you all for the next 46
no.
days. 46 days yeah. until the Christmas finale.
Wow.
You know, I don't know that. I don't think we have any predictions. I don't think we need any predictions. Unless
well,
somebody
no,
say.
I think I would like to say that I think that the Christmas special is going to be set at Christmas time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not sure. I think that is the plan.
Right.
I'm not sure it's been confirmed, but I think that is the plan. There was something else I was going to say that I don't remember. It will snow on Christmas.
Yeah. And Maybelline and Tony will be married. Well, that'll mm-hmm. be part of it. I think the Cinderbees will be part of it in some fashion.
I hope so.
Gotta so
have
too.
It. Yeah. And I don't just mean Atticus, but go ahead.
I know it's a little weird and slightly incestuous, but I've sort of felt this way for a very long time. And it's really interesting that somebody said it, but Mary and Tom.
I knew you were going to
say
that.
I've had a feeling for a very long time. Me too. And I'm just like, it's her sister, but her sister's dead. It shouldn't matter. But when they had their moment this episode where they literally, they were like really close. And again, they have these moments all, they've been having them all season. Like, I don't want you to go, I don't want you to go. But there was something very special and intimate about when they started to talk about, we have our memories.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
And then I just was like, why don't y'all just get married and get it over with?
Well, and I think there was another one of the predictions that I read that was so funny. It was something like, you know, Tom wants a girl who wears pants, who knows who she is, who, you know, is still a lady but can drink with the guy, you know, whatever, like this. And then they went, and that's Mary.
Okay, but he's as short as Blake.
But he's got gravitas or something great that we
You think so?
I don't know. It would work for me.
They already love each other. I mean, maybe not romantically, but
I think there's a little romance.
So do you think Mary at some point will turn to him and go, hey, Tom, do you want to go sketching?
But what about their kids? Are they
See, then that would be weird. That's cousins. What the kids mess it up. The kids mess it up.
This exact scenario happened in my family way back.
Whoa, hey, we don't need to go there.
So it's possible.
No, my point is that it happened a lot. You know, people would marry their wife, their spouse would die, and they would marry the sibling. It was relatively common back then because, you know, you've got a lot in common.
And you're hanging out together all the time
and
anyway.
Make it work.
Well, one thing I wanted to make sure we say before, we kind of touched on it recently. I really want to thank everybody for tuning in and for giving us your feedback and your comments.
We love you.
Because we love to start the conversation, but then we love the way you keep it going.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
It is. It's been a pleasure.
And insightful and interesting. Yeah. And they point out things that we forget to mention.
Well, yeah, which is great because, you know, again, we don't have a lot of time before we come up here and do this. So I love that, you know, they've seen this and then they hear what we say and then they comment and what about this and... It's just extremely, it's a great conversation to have, and I'm very, very appreciative of it.
So the Christmas special airs on Christmas.
Yes.
We, like Program last note. Season, we were not able to do it that day because a bunch of us were traveling. And so it'll probably be around the 30th, 31st,
We will definitely
like that,
do one, and we'll tweet it out, and we'll let everybody know.
Watch AfterBuzz's Facebook page, as well as Courtney's and Alina's and my Twitter accounts. Yeah. And we'll probably post something on the most recent YouTube comments as well.
Comments,
so just you'll be able to find us, we promise.
So, any last thoughts?
That's it.
I'm going to miss it. It's only 46 days.
Only 46 days.
And then we can relive it again with our American friends a couple days after that.
Where can
That's
they find
true.
You? Alina?
At Alina Akram, LA, on Twitter.
At Stuart Starlet.
At Tamara Berg on Twitter, and my website is TamaraCentral.com. We're going to miss you guys. Thank
we
you.
Will.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you next time. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.